We will now convene the regular Mesa City Council study session for November the 2nd. The first item on our agenda for this meeting is to review the items on the agenda for the November 6th council meeting. So council, if you'd please refer to that agenda. The first several items are routine and various liquor license applications. Item four is entering into various purchase contracts. Mr. Thompson.
I have a question on item 4H as far as the rental services for the police department citywide. I'd like to know what departments are considered under the citywide. Is that also include the street crimes, the gang unit, the various other departments, or is that a specific department?
Good morning. They're RICO funds for 39 lease vehicles that we have.
So what units are going to be using those vehicles?
It's going to pretty much be gangs, SWAT, organized crime.
So what are we doing to replenish the cars under street crimes?
They just use the cars that they have. I'm not aware of any initiative that the chief has in terms of replacing those vehicles at this time.
Okay, can you have someone develop a plan for me so I can figure out when we're going to be swapping those cars out, and that way the guys on the streets are have vehicles that are decent?
You bet.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. And other questions relating to agenda item four, purchase contracts? Agenda item five is taking action on various resolutions. Six is public comment on various ordinances. Seven is taking action on subdivision plats. And currently, there are no items for Monday's meeting that are off the consent agenda. Any questions or concerns about that, council? All right, hearing none, the next item on our agenda for this meeting, item two, is to hear a presentation and provide direction on the use of $60,000 in human services ABC funds council previously approved for the proposed Mesa K-Ready pilot program. We're delighted to have the great women that have been working on this project, Jay O'Donnell from Economic Development, our Deputy City Manager Natalie Lewis, and we welcome Dr. Don Foley from Mesa Public Schools. Ladies, welcome.
Thank you, Mayor and City Council. We appreciate your time this morning. In addition to those you just introduced for me, we have other members of our team in the audience with us this morning. We have Dr. Mike Cowan from Mesa Public Schools. We have Mark Young from the Mesa United Way, Sally Harrison from the Mesa Chamber of Commerce, Neil Curley from the City Manager's Office, and then our enrichment team. These are staff that have been working on the supplemental enrichment programs that we already have here at the city in libraries, parks and recreation, and the arts and culture department. So why we're here this morning is that this spring, the city council appropriated $60,000 as part of the human service funds. And these are funds that are distributed annually to community programs and social services. And the council at the time asked us to return to you with a plan for early childhood education. So today we're here to present the Mesa K-Ready program. I also want to let you know that we tried to tighten this presentation up just a little bit because there's a lot of background information. So what we've done is taken a lot of that information and put it at the end of the presentation. And we also provided quite a bit of information to council in advance. So things like the Early Childhood Education Task Force, benchmarking analysis, why early learning is so important and how it connects to workforce development, and why poverty plays a central role in this conversation. All of that information is available to the council. But first this morning, I wanted to at least start with a brief overview for the audience at home who's watching. This journey for us and as a team started about 2 years ago in the fall of 2015. The City Council appointed a task force. It was chaired by Vice Mayor Luna. Dr. Foley was also a participant in that. And they worked really hard for about a year to analyze the program in Mesa, to look at all sorts of data related to Mesa and poverty information, school-related information, to really define the problem as it relates to us. We learned at that time that 36% of Mesa's children are currently enrolled in some kind of curriculum-based early learning versus the national average of 50%. Ultimately, they also did some benchmarking, and we looked at things across the country, and we even went to one community to see firsthand how it worked. And ultimately, they declared a call of action on early childhood education as part of a comprehensive workforce development strategy. More recently in this year, the city's been fortunate to be part of a Bloomberg City Leadership Initiative. We were actually one of 50 cities that was identified across the world to participate in this. And we had the opportunity to present this program to them for feedback. And they told us that it was a very interesting concept, but they challenged us too and said, do you know enough about your audience? You're talking about working with families who are living in poverty, living in crisis, and are challenged. Is the program that you've set up something that will become a tool for them and ultimately successful for you? So we took a little bit of a step sideways and did some focus group analysis in Mesa. We met with kindergarten teachers, preschool teachers, counselors, nonprofits, all people who work very directly with this population, our target audience. We asked them about what is it like a day in the life of these families. And the clear result was that in order for us to get to our ultimate goal, which is kindergarten readiness, we were also going to have to, at the same time, support the family. We want the parents to be well-educated. We want them to understand what kindergarten readiness is. We want to try to carve out space and time, if we can, for them to make this a priority in their households. So we're going to add some social elements to this in order to support that family unit and ultimately to reach our key goal, which is helping our kids become kindergarten ready. We also took time to build and look at and form a team. We wanted to find people with the right expertise, passion for the initiative, and we ultimately wanted to ensure that the Mesa K Ready is owned and supported by the community.
So as Natalie indicated, this idea of readiness is a multifaceted, complex issue. And when we're talking about what does a plan or proposal look like that addresses that whole issue, we wanted to identify that, yes, that readiness is an academic piece, coming to school ready to learn, but that there are other aspects to that as well that are also critical and important. The idea of the social, emotional, the idea of families having the resources that they need to ensure that their children come to school ready to learn, and that that their involvement and the education of the support to the parents in their role as first and most important teacher is critical and important. So when we look at this diagram, is a nice visual of kind of how there are going to be multiple facets to this proposal, this plan. So when we talk about the academic piece, yes, that would involve Mesa Public Schools with educators overseeing the academic components, the assessment information, the data, how are we progressing, the communication on the academic piece of this plan or this readiness. But it would also include other components as well.
So as Dr. Foley mentioned, early childhood education is much more than just academics. And so the city of Mesa has come forward, and we're going to supplement the program with enrichment experiences. And these are existing programs at our libraries, our parks and recreation, our great museums, and the Mesa Arts Center. The Mesa United Way is stepped up as well, and they have an AmeriCorps and Vista Volunteer program. So that will help us with additional administrative support and professional support as we move through this. And the Chamber of Commerce has also come to the table representing the business community and connecting through their education, early education committee as well. So now more about the proposal.
Okay, so the recommendation for this pilot proposal would begin with identifying a lead person who would begin to orchestrate all of these pieces. That would start in January with about 50 families who would receive a tablet device that would be loaded with an existing early learning management system, Mrs. Humblebee's Academy, which is like a early learning platform. It's a learning management system that has the ability for parents and teachers to monitor the progress these children make through these activities. In addition to this device and access to this curriculum, these families would bring their children to work with educators who would start screening these students on readiness indicators to find out where are we starting, so that as educators we can begin to work with families, yes, with the resource, but also about other academic things that they can do in their everyday life with their children to enrich and to help ensure that their kids have the most opportunity to come to school with those academic foundational pieces. So they would have these assessments, and these mentors, these teachers and educators, would be following up with these families regularly on the progress of how their children are making and the ongoing communication on their academic development.
A quick shout out to T-Mobile, because they have come forward and offered to provide free devices for this program as part of the pilot. They gave us one example. This is an existing tablet that's already in their office. They told us that the ones that our families will be receiving are a little bit larger because they're the next generation of tablets. They're also helping us with low-cost Wi-Fi service for those families who don't access to that. And just for the council to know, we're going to go ahead and load Ms. Humblebees onto this, and I will provide this to your assistant. So if you're interested in taking a look at how this will look and feel for the families on the actual device, you can do that after the meeting today. The pilot program is also going to include the connections to social services for the family, both for the family and the child. Things like maybe health screenings, access to job readiness, if that's something that the family needs, dental assistance, those kinds of things. Again, we're going to have at least 10 experiences, enrichment experiences at our existing programs. We're going to also try testing nutritious food supplies. We're working with our food banks to provide some free or very low-cost foods, healthy choices for these families, to again try to find that and create that space and time for them to be able to support the program and have an incentive for wanting to be a part of the program. And then most importantly, the program fundraising will be completed by Mayor Giles and Superintendent Cowan and other members of the community.
So why?
Oh. Sorry, I turned off my microphone so as not to irritate everyone. Mr. Thompson has a question for
you. Can you go back one slide?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not seeing it. There we go. The pre and post assessment, has that already been created?
These are like readiness screeners that would look at the readiness indicators like literacy, numeracy, fine and gross motor. These are sort of readiness indicators that educators use to get a good baseline of where our students are starting. So these resources exist. They are what educators use as a starting place in our early learning environments.
So it's a standardized assessment?
Yes.
Mayor and Council, why is this important? Why is economic development here at the table? For economic development in a community, it is critical. And workforce, as you may know, is the number one factor companies consider when they are looking to expand or relocate. So companies today and in the future need not just a workforce, but an educated workforce. Company decision makers look at educational attainment in cities when they're evaluating communities and site selection, going through the site selection process. And as you can see by the chart, Mesa is behind our East Valley neighbors, including Phoenix and the county as a whole. So we know that by 2020, two-thirds of the jobs in Arizona will require some post-secondary education. That's specialty training, a two-year certificate program, or a four-year degree. So to compete for those jobs in Mesa, we need a well-educated workforce. If we have fewer students ready for kindergarten, that will translate to fewer students graduating high school, and then subsequently not moving on to post-secondary education or training. So that will mean fewer Mesa residents will be able to participate in the workforce in Arizona. This program we're talking about is a workforce development strategy. Yes, it's focused on kindergarten readiness, but it really is a long-term workforce development strategy.
Excuse me, Jay.
On that last slide, just curious, because Mesa seems to be a net exporter of labor to Scottsdale, Chandler, Tempe, Phoenix. Where are our people going to, where are we exporting our labor to work on a daily basis if what you're saying is we don't really have that smart of a citizenship?
We really look at education as a whole from a community perspective, and we are exporting jobs. If you look at the number of jobs that we have available in Mesa, we're working on the economic development side to increase the number of jobs in Mesa for Mesa residents so they can actually stay here and work here. And we're really looking at increasing the quality of those jobs as well. So we want those talented, skilled workers to stay here. You're right. They are traveling to Scottsdale, to Tempe, to Phoenix to work. But we also have some that we import as well. But we do have a net out exporting of jobs. Did that answer your question? Okay. Also looking at one of Mesa's City Council's strategic priorities, and that is to increase prosperity for all of Mesa residents. One indicator of prosperity is a community's per capita income. So this slide demonstrates that Mesa's per capita income is close to Phoenix, but again, compared to our neighbors in the East Valley and the county overall, Mesa is at the bottom. So we know that if we start with an achievement gap, we usually sustain that achievement gap, and it is very difficult to catch up. So we know that those who start kindergarten ready, their academic trajectory is considerably higher over their entire educational career as well as their lives. Their earning potential increases. The ultimate goal really is to help children escape the cycle of poverty and to become members of Mesa's talented and skilled workforce, creating a positive economic impact. So we do believe that education is a way out of poverty and education is economic development. So these last two slides were really long-term indicators that we're going to be measuring, but we'll also examine evidence-based measurements and shorter-term goals.
Again, one of the things that's going to be very important is using the data and the evidence that we collect in this program with our students, with our parents, to continue to refine, to improve, but also to have that information and tell us how is this progressing? What evidence do we have that this is making a difference? And so there's a lot of assessment, formative assessment data that we'll be able to collect on students. First of all, there would be that pre and post assessments that we would do with those, with our families and participants. There is also in the Mrs. Humblebee's learning readiness resource, there are assessments and data for educators and for parents that help us monitor as kids are engaged in these academic lessons and games. It's monitoring their attainment on certain standards and how they are progressing through that. So what's nice is that their participation in this program also is a data collection resource for us. So we'll know where they started, how they were progressing through this academic resource, and then also how they did when we were done with them at the end of the program. We'd also be able to collect information from parents and their awareness and understanding of those pieces as well. The next part is that we would also have the ability to then monitor them on DIBLS. DIBLS stands for the Dynamic Indicators of Basic Early Literacy Skills. It is one of the standardized measures that we use as educators to monitor the literacy development, if you will, of our youngest learners, our K-3 students. And it allows us to assess where are they and also identify if they are at risk or at intensive or strategic are identified at being at risk, what specifically can we do to also support them? But the goal obviously would be to have this information to inform us right off the bat. So that's sort of some of the academic evidence and data that we could collect on our participants in this program.
Some of the goals that we would also be measuring over time is overall participation of our kids in early learning. So, you know, I already mentioned that nationally that average is about 50% in other communities, and we're at 36%. So if we can get to a point where we can move the needle from 36% to 50% of our children involved in some curriculum-based early learning, we believe we'll be making an impact. So we'll be measuring overall participation. We're going to measure the downloads of Miss Humblebee's. This is an existing program at our library, and we're very proud of it, and we've been using it in our library programs. But we think that this program will give us additional marketing and exposure to what it is. And our goal would be that all families in Mesa with young children can get access to this, because the way we've set this up is that if you live in Mesa and you have a library card, you can have access to Miss Humblebee's no matter what. So that would be something we would also measure over time. And then we'll also measure exposure to our existing programs. We want to make sure that our existing programs are fully meeting their mission and that we are out there and providing the right services to our community. And we're hopeful that this program will help bring more exposure to those programs as we do today. So again, these are short-term measures, and we will have longer-term measures as we move on as well. So one of the longer-term measures will be really looking again at that participation, and our goal would be that we will grow this program over time in the number of kids that we're able to serve based on what we have learned, based on our capabilities of the staff that we have, and also very much based on the fundraising that we do. This program is modeled on a public-private partnership and will be relying on philanthropic participation. So we're going to be trying to move our needle and hopefully in the long term really reach that about 700 to 1,000 kids per year so we can get to that 50% mark. As also, we have a goal to secure about $1 million foundation because that will help us continue to grow and to provide this program.
As well, we expect incomes to eventually rise. The more educated a population, the higher their incomes.
From an education perspective, of course, we would want to see increased achievement scores on test scores. We'd want to see a decrease in reduction in dropouts or retentions. Overall, we would hope to see the academic scores continue to rise.
And we also expect the higher education attainment to show positive growth as well. And when the program has proven successful, we expect to have additional partners to come and support the effort to ensure its longevity.
So the Mesa K Ready concept is a strong start concept for our children. It includes both high-tech and high-touch types of components. The city has operated as a convening partner in this and will be at the table as it relates to our existing programs and enrichment to help with that social-emotional side of the children. But we believe that ultimately this really does need to be community-owned. And so we are working very hard to do that and to continue in that path. We're also very focused on both the family and the four-year-old and bringing social services that already exist in Mesa and through our robust nonprofit partners, getting access for those families to those services. So ultimately, and as Jay has already mentioned, this is all about, you know, becoming part of our skilled and talented workforce and helping Mesa stay strong in the long term. Our timeline moving forward is we would try to do this pilot program January through May of this coming year. Over the summer, we would reevaluate. We would provide an update to the city council. We'll fine-tune our approach. We'll look at how we can scale it, how we can budget what we want to do. And we're hoping that in the fall of 2018, we'd be able to implement a full year of the program and also watch how that would work.
And the good news is Ms. Humblebee's software is available now to all Mesa residents, as Natalie already mentioned, so we need to continue to market that high-quality program.
So we have raised $130,000 so far for the program, so we have the funds in hand to move forward with this pilot program that we have described. We're going to be working on more opportunities for sponsorships and grants. The full-year budget will be put together while we're doing this pilot program. And the results of the pilot and the lessons learned will be shared by council probably sometime in the summer of 2018. And with that, we're seeking council concurrence to move forward with the Mesa K Ready pilot program. And we're here for any questions that you may have.
Thank you. Thank you very much, ladies. Great presentation. Mr. Thompson.
Thank you for the presentation. Is there, into your model, did you build in a component of parental responsibility? Because to me, that seems to be one of the bigger issues, is that parents aren't really taking responsibility for their child's education. And the last thing I want to do is the city all of a sudden come in and decide that we're going to take that piece over for you on your behalf. Because it really should be at the parents and the school district, honestly, to be the ones that are intervening to ensure those children are prepared and educated.
Yes, Councilmember Thompson, that is something that we have taken very seriously. During our research and really doing the audience analysis, we've looked at that, and we agree with you. We really need the parents to be involved in this and ultimately become lifelong advocates of their children and their educational path. So that's why we've built in this social service part of it, because we really believe if we can do anything to help lessen any challenges that this family is having or connecting them to social services or health services, that'll become an incentive for them to want to be part of this program and want to learn about this kindergarten readiness and how it will help their child really escape that cycle of poverty. So we feel that kindergarten readiness is very important, and that's a focus, but we can't do that and do that successfully without fully engaging that family and those parents.
And I'll just reiterate my stance on this from that has been there since day one, is that I think we're getting into that slippery slope between what is the city's responsibility under our mandates of being the city, and what the education community's responsibilities are to ensure our children are educated. So we're really flying around on this really gray line right now. And I want to make sure that we caution that we don't cross that line into doing what the school boards and the state school superintendent's jobs really are, which is to ensure that our children are educated and prepared to go to first grade or prepared to go to kindergarten, and let the city continue to get our own house in order and ensure that our city services are the best that they can be for our citizens. So. Thank you.
Thank you. Other questions for these ladies? But just so everyone knows, we do have some blue cards, and there's a couple of folks in the audience that I am going to invite to come forward. So, of course, please feel free to ask whatever questions at whatever point you want. But Mr. Lynch, would you like to?
Why don't we defer to that?
Okay, great. Thank you, ladies. Excellent presentation. Thank you for all your hard work on this very important topic. I did notice that a couple of your slides referenced the Mesa Chamber of Commerce and the Mesa United Way. Their logos are on this as well, and we're privileged to have Mark Young, the head of Mesa United Way, and Sally Harrison from the Chamber. If you don't mind, I'd like to invite you forward just so that we can hear from you in terms of how you view your partnership in this program, what your experience has been thus far in helping to shape this program. Sally,
sure.
Thank you.
Good morning, Mayor. Good morning, Council. At this point, we feel like, you know, it's part of the Chamber's mission to support education, obviously, but we also have worked a lot with Jay and talked about the economic development piece, because we understand that when businesses are looking at relocating here or moving here, starting here, that's an important process. So we're committed to making introductions to some of our members. We know that there are members that are already interested in supporting financially and want to get involved in the bigger picture of, you know, advocating for this and supporting the program.
Thank you. Mark, what's the United Way's perspective on how you can participate?
Sure. United Way for years has been, believes that education is the long-term fix for poverty. So we've been involved in early childhood brain development work and many things in the past. We are committed to working with this group in providing some support services through AmeriCorps and VISTA that we would take financial responsibility for. And we're also looking with other partners in the community that would be involved financially. So far there's been two folks that are very interested in seeing this project and willing to give some dollars towards that. And there's been $10,000 come in earmarked for that already. So.
Thank you, and I appreciate the work you've done. And philanthropy obviously is a part of this program for it to be successful. And I think to this point, we have had this concept, and I think at this point now we have something more substantial to share with people, and that it's finally ready to take out and do some solicitation as far as philanthropy goes. And I'm excited to be a partner with you and assist both of your organizations in selling this program in the community and continuing to develop the philanthropic part of it. But thank you for what you've done so far. We really appreciate it. Thank you. And Dr. Cowan, if you don't mind, I'd like to invite you up just to be, we appreciate, obviously the other, according to this presentation, the other major partner that the city would be working with on this is Mesa Public Schools. I'm very proud of Mesa Public Schools. I think I have a long family and personal history with your organization. There's not a better partner for us in anything that we do. We partner with the school district every time or every day, multiple times a day, and we have a great history of working together. Dr. Count, on this, what do you see the city's role and the school's role going forward on school readiness?
Mr. Mayor, members of the City Council, thank you for giving me the opportunity to share some remarks. And I want you to know I appreciate Mr. Thompson's comments that he just shared, because there is a differentiation of our assignments and missions. Where we're at is this early child population is not a population that by state law, Mesa Public Schools is provided funding to be able to educate. If we were provided funding for this, this would be a totally different conversation, because we would have the opportunity to engage in robust and advanced services to these children. Unfortunately, kindergarten is not even required in the state of Arizona. There is no compulsory attendance laws for even kindergarten students. And when you consider the complexities of education and the advanced society that we live in now, this is substantially different from the days of your parents and the days of many of us, of what is expected of our children on academics and preparation for a very complex society and workforce. So we feel a great need and responsibility to ensure that every child is afforded the education that they need so that they can be successful contributors to Mesa. We see a great amount of our work as the engine for future economic viability in our community. And for that reason, I came to speak with the mayor about this concern, knowing that our children are coming not just with minimal skills, but in many instances, especially from our lower socioeconomic community members, with deficit capacities. I was in a kindergarten classroom at the beginning of the school year, and I took a little survey of these cute little 25 kindergartners in this classroom. How many of you know what letter this is? Does anyone know what letter this is? How many of you know what color this is? How many of you know what number comes after 2? And in some instances, there were a handful of kids that knew this. This was in a school that serves a very economically challenged community. These children came so deficit of skills that probably you and I expect as common expectations as you prepare your child for kindergarten experiences. It was just an indicator, again, of how important this is. So I completely appreciate where Mr. Thompson is coming from. And we're not asking you to come jump in our sandbox and play with kindergarten through 12th grade education or our early childhood education for our special education children, who we do receive federal dollars for. Where we're looking for and what we think is important is that the city, Mesa Public Schools, other educational entities in the community, our Chamber of Commerce, our social service agencies, as coordinated by the Mesa United Way, understand the power and the importance of helping this population of kids be equipped with the educational skills and abilities so that when they come to kindergarten and we do receive funding for those children and we do have accountability and responsibilities to ensure that they're academically progressing, that they come without the deficit of skills. Because if we don't provide them with those kinds of skills, they, in most instances, based on national and state level research, they never catch up to their peers, because their peers are continually having enriched experiences, which propels them even further along, while these children suffer without that. The other piece I want to comment on just real briefly is the parent education piece is essential for us to be successful here. We're not just educating children. We're helping families understand, in many instances, changing cultural and generational practices in homes to help them understand what can you do to ensure that your child can be successful. What kinds of activities can you engage in at home? What kind of enrichment experiences can you have here in Mesa with the wealth of services available through the city and its services? And what can the school system do in helping you prepare your child to be successful as he or she enters into kindergarten. And so really that's what we're talking about. We'll take care of and should take care of kindergarten through 12th grade. The challenge is what we've got. And, you know, if you were in the business world and you were, I'll use an analogy that someone else has shared with me. If you were making ice cream with blueberries and you got a defective batch of blueberries, you would return it and get a fresh batch of blueberries to make the quality ice cream that you want to get. In education, we accept all our blueberries, regardless of their condition, their status, their situation, and we do everything we can to help advance them. What we want to do is help some of those blueberries, some of these little kids, have a chance at success that without a preschool education, they likely will not achieve at the levels that this community needs, that the school system expects, and what the economy counts on for an educated workforce. And so that's where we're coming from on this.
Thank you, Dr. Cowan. Mr. You bet. Thompson.
Dr. Cowan, thank you. And your passion for education is clearly visible. So this seems more like it's a funding issue from the state legislature or from the budgetary standpoint than anything else. So have you talked to your school board, or has your school board talked to the state superintendent, or is anybody having those conversations to get some funding from the legislature to take this to take on the pre-K early childhood development piece? Because it seems like it's important, you know, because Arizona, Mesa has to, I think, is probably the first city that's ever doing this in Arizona, is my guess. And I'm sure that there's other communities that are experiencing the exact same thing we are. We're not the only one. So why is there that discussion taking place at the state level to get either the constitution changed to include the early childhood piece, or some type of budgetary discussion taking place to be able to fund it?
Councilmember Thompson, I spend an enormous amount of time in Phoenix, talking with legislators, talking with the governor, talking with the state superintendent of instruction, talking with the state board of education. And you mentioned discussion. There's really not discussion going on. It's really me more talking at them than them talking with me. And the reason for that, and they'll say this over and over again, Dr. Cowan, we don't have any money. We don't have the money. Matter of fact, they've cut 80% of our capital budget in education across the state. The Joint Legislative Budget Committee has indicated that we're going to be going into deficit spending moving into this next fiscal year, which means it's going to be another dry, painful, challenging year just to equip our schools with the services necessary to help our kindergarten through 12th grade students. They do not provide funding for full-day kindergarten, which is essential with the new state standards and what's expected of our students to provide. So we have adjusted our budget and used $12 million additional dollars just to ensure that we have full-day kindergarten for our students, because without that, our students will not meet the academic standards that are required of the state. So it is something that they are aware of. They are looking at other fiscal concerns right now, just trying to help sustain the education system. We've got a huge teacher shortage because we are 49th or 50th in teacher pay, and you can earn $12,000 to $15,000 more a year by going to New Mexico, Utah, or California, and Arizona education as a result of all this is suffering. And they are aware of that, and yet at the same time, there are no new taxes. There are tax cuts that have significant impact on the state's budget, and we just do the best we can with what we get. But I promise you, and I'm not the only one over there knocking on the door talking about these things. And I don't think they don't disregard it, but it's not their priority right now. And it hasn't been for the 30 years that I'm aware of, because of the continued lingering educational challenges as a result of budget deficits that we've experienced since I've been in Mesa Public Schools.
Thank you. Other questions? questions for Dr. Cowan. Thank you very much, Dr. Cowan.
Thank you, Mayor, and thank you for your help and support in what we're trying to accomplish here. We greatly, sincerely appreciate your work, Natalie's work, the work of your team in helping us try to figure out how to solve this very important problem that we have. Thank you.
Thank you for all you're doing, and good luck with the school year. We do have one blue card. Are there any others? Okay. Invite forward Deanna Villanueva Saucedo. Deanna, welcome.
Thank you. Good morning, Mayor, members of City Council. My name is Deanna Villanueva Saucedo, and I'm here to speak in support of Mesa's K-Ready pilot program. As a member of the Early Education Task Force, and more importantly, as a Mesa native with 25 years of experience working with Mesa's families, I can personally tell you the need for this type of program. And I'm going to get on the same soapbox I've been on several times as I've come to speak to you before City Council meetings. Many of our Mesa families simply don't have the luxury of being able to send their children to high-quality early education programs. When you are struggling to make ends meet, when you're struggling as a single parent, when you are facing mounting bills and just trying to make ends meet, you don't always have that luxury. And I will emphasize over and over again that it's not a matter of want or desire. It's a matter of simply not having those opportunities and access. And again, working with Mesa families, all of our families want their children to be successful. It's not an abdication of responsibility. It's simply struggling to make ends meet and not having those equal opportunities around access. Our school district does a great job, and as Dr. Cowan stated, the state simply does not fund this. We currently have a gap in our pipeline in terms of services. Other communities are stepping up and taking a look at this. Even our neighbor to the east, Tempe, already allocated $3 million to early education. So we're certainly not the first community to take a look at this. And again, as I have shared with you before, education is intricately linked with economic development. As we heard this last weekend at our Mesa Latino Town Hall, there's tons of statistics around this. If we do not have a foundation and a really solid start for our early learners, we are continually lagging behind. I don't want to see us fall further behind. I don't want my son to have to drive to Scottsdale to have a high-paying job. But those companies with high-paying jobs simply aren't going to look at us with our current statistics. Mesa lags in educational attainment. Mesa lags in income. Mesa lags in lots of those indicators. I'm a proud Mesa resident, and I really would like to see some of those statistics change. My work for decades has been about connecting communities to education. I am really proud that the city is starting to take a look at this same function, which is an appropriate role for government. Economic development and ensuring the health and sustainability of our community is absolutely a vital city function. So I'm proud that you're taking this first step. I'm proud that you're taking some leadership on this issue. I would encourage you to keep looking at the statistics and, again, ensuring that we remain an economically viable, healthy community. So thank you.
Thank you, Deanna. Okay, that concludes the presentations and the blue cards that we have. Again, this is as agendized as to hear a presentation and provide direction on the use of this money, which we've already voted on twice. Is there council discussion or questions at this point? Mr. Luna.
I appreciate the plan that Natalie's put together and her team, as well as Jay and as my friend back there. And thank you so much. And I appreciate the work of the chamber. I know Jerry Lewis back there. He leads our committee on the education committee for the Mesa Chamber, and our focus has been on early education. And the business community has come together to really support this effort, and I appreciate the chamber's leadership on that. Appreciate also Mark Young supporting with the social service element. And just recently we received a significant contribution from the Whiteman Foundation, because there is truly a need in this community to support that effort, because poverty affects all of us. And we want to make sure that we move the needle, we change that. We want to make sure that when our kids enter kindergarten, they're ready to learn. I appreciate Dr. Cowan's effort in leading this effort and supporting that. We have Mike Hutchinson from the East Valley Partnership, understands the importance of economic development in this piece. And Beth and Claudia are back there, my good friends, and they're also working behind scenes to try to raise some additional funds to promote this project and to move forward. Now, one thing we have to remember that the school district is going to be the lead on this. We're undergirding this by supporting, we're having these wraparound services that we're very good as a city. We can provide that through our libraries, and we're also working with our business as well as our social service agencies to make sure this is successful. So I want to congratulate you. I think this is a great program, and I'd like to see us move forward as a community.
Thank you, Mr. Luna. Other comments? Mr. Brady, you look like you're okay.
No, just
want
to make sure we have the direction.
All right, great. Well, I'm just going to say amen to what the vice mayor said. and a quote that is going to haunt me, I think, from this presentation was what Deanna said a moment ago. Mesa lags. Mesa lags when it comes to educational attainment, when it comes to having high-paying salaries, and that's not the history of this community. That's not what attracted people to Mesa for generations. In Mesa, historically, education has been one of our core values as a community. That's been the reason people come here and the reason my wife and I stayed here and raised our family here. And I do have to say that it's been somewhat of a somber presentation today, and as it should be. We have a problem in our community that we need to address. But there's also, I've raised five kids and taken them through Mesa Public Schools, and I'm sure they couldn't have had a better experience anywhere else. We have pockets of high-performing schools, high-performing students that are doing extremely well in this community. But you know, our job is to make sure that those opportunities are more widespread. And unfortunately, the trend in our community is not in the right direction. And I think we have a history in this community of partnering when we see a problem. The city has always played a role in supporting the school district in a variety of ways, from swimming pools to ball fields to, there are too many to mention. And I think this is a call to action in our community at this point. If we ignore this problem, shame on us. There's no doubt it will continue to get worse and worse. Of that, I'm absolutely sure. So I'm proud of the response that but what we're doing today is just consistent with the history of this community in going back to the beginning of our community. So to some of the points that have and concerns that have been raised that are actually very valid and important, I think it is important that we focus on the responsibility of the parents. And that's one of the aspects of this program that makes it work. This is not just handing a tablet to a child at risk and saying, here, your problems are solved. You know, go do these word problems and learn what red and blue and circles and squares are. That's not what this is. The secret sauce to this is the mentoring that for each one of these devices, there will be a mentor assigned to that family that will be working with the parents and asking them, what are the challenges that are preventing or putting Johnny at risk for being well prepared for kindergarten? And are you monitoring your child? Are you doing the things in your home that is going to help this child be successful? So I think that's just as important as anything that we're doing for the child is the work that will be done with the parents. Under this program, schools are going to do what schools do. They're going to be staffing this. They're going to be providing the educational and the academic portion of this. And the city's going to do what cities do, which is libraries and museums and the enrichment activities that we always have done. In my mind, there's no the line between our roles remains appropriate and very, very clear. The other thing I like about this is that the assessments that are going to be done. In order for this long term to be successful, we're going to have to prove that this is a successful program and that we're making a dent in the problem. And we can't do that if we just have anecdotal, feel good, examples to share. We're going to have to measure where we're at, what we're doing about it, and whether or not we've made an impact. And if we can do that, then this will be a model program throughout the state and maybe further, and we're going to be able to change hearts and minds and hopefully get better at this long term. In the meantime, the bulk of the financing for this program is going to come from philanthropy. So we're going to have to start a citywide campaign. And it's already started, and frankly, I'm very encouraged with the results thus far. but a citywide and statewide campaign of going out and explaining that we are in a serious problem. We're in the midst of a serious problem in Mesa, Arizona, and we have all got to respond to it, or it's going to get worse. By doing that, we're going to be able to get the support of the business community and the philanthropy community, and they're going to be able to partner with the schools and with the city, and we're going to be able to tackle this problem. So I'm proud of what the city's done thus far, but it's entirely inadequate, and it won't be successful unless the greater community joins with us and gets involved, and we all come to the rescue of our children and our schools. So I don't mean to overly dramatize this, but frankly, I think I've just scratched the surface of how critical and important this is in our community. So, Mr. Brady, you were making the point that you need some direction from the district.
As long as we have a direction moving forward, that's what council asked us to do. The dollars have been appropriated. You asked for a briefing as we move forward, and that's what we're going to do today. We just want to make sure council's we're all together moving forward with this plan. I think that was the request of council when we approved this in the budget.
Thank you very much. Given that we've already voted twice, I'm not sure that a vote is necessary, but I think is it fair to say, council, that the consensus is to move forward? And as Natalie was indicating, prior to taking this program to scale, which would be next fall, for the beginning of the next school year, prior to that, obviously we'll get some updates. Yeah. We'll know to what extent what our failures and successes have been on the pilot program. And we'll get some council direction on proceeding forward as we take it beyond the pilot program. Does everyone feel good about that?
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And thanks again for the many people that are here today that have gotten this to this point. We appreciate you. The next item on our agenda is the receipt of minutes of various boards and committees. Is there a motion to that effect? Thank you, Mr. Glover and Mr. Thompson. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Next, is it hear reports on meetings and conferences attended? Council, yes, Mr. Luna.
We had a very successful Latino town hall. Thanks, Marisa, for coordinating that, my assistant. I want to thank Ruth Giese and Natalie and city staff that participated. And Carrie was there. Thank you, Carrie.
Wow, Carrie was there. Wow.
And so was John. Thank you. So I want to thank the city staff participating. We had a record amount of city participants. We had 75 people there. So I thank City of Mesa for being part of that and their leadership and their and I also want to thank Chiefs Batista and Camelli. They led the public safety panel. They did an amazing job. I know they're not here, but anyway, it's on record that I thank them.
Thank you, Mr. Luna. Mr. Thompson.
I just want to mention that we had this past Monday, we had our Trunk or Treat Spooktacular in District 6, which was a huge success. So I wanted to publicly thank Alicia White for doing her part in from my office and helping out, as well as Lieutenant Bellows, Desert Ridge High School, and a whole host of other people. Huge success. This is the third year that we've done it, and we're estimating we had at least 2,000 people that walked through. It was massive, and it was great for the community. It was great to see the interaction between the children and our police department. So kudos to that. Yesterday, or when was it? Tuesday. My days are all kind of blending together. Tuesday, we did the trick-or-treat on Main Street, so we all got to hand out candy to the little ones walking down the street, and it was a lot of fun. I always look forward to doing that every year and see the little costumes. And also a reminder that we're in the midst of the Cardin Children's Hospital toy drive, so we're challenging the community to drop off an unused and wrapped toy for babies, toddlers, school age, and teens. There's 9 different locations throughout the city, and it goes until November 29th. So that's it.
Thank you, Mr. Luna.
I also want to thank the Mesa Arts staff for a wonderful Dia de los Muertos celebration this past weekend. There were 20,000 people that attended the event. So Mesa Arts Center, they did an amazing job. I couldn't believe how many people were there. And the mayor and I had an opportunity to greet and welcome the Mexican consulate. And so that was a lot of fun. And this Friday, we have Food Truck Friday at Las Sendas if you're there.
Oh, wow. That's a big deal. Go to Food Truck Friday at Las Endas, and I guarantee you're going to have a good time. In addition to Dia de los Muertos, which was an amazing success, right. It was wall-to-wall people, and it was a lot of fun this weekend. At the same day, we had Dia de los Muertos. We had the Mesa Town Hall, the Latino Town Hall. It was the witching hour. Everything happened last Saturday. But we had the Latino Town Hall. Thank you to everyone at the City of Mesa, Mesa Public Schools, Mesa Community College, the Mesa Association of Hispanic Citizens. That was, a very well-attended and very successful event. And, of course, Make a Difference Day this last Saturday. We had tens of thousands of volunteers in the City of Mesa actively involved in a million different projects. I was joined with many of these council members in welcoming and thanking lots of volunteers. And what a great demonstration of what a great city we are. I don't know that there are other cities that are as good at this as we are in providing volunteers and coming out and attacking projects that need help in our community. So I was very proud of our city last Saturday, as I'm sure we all were. So thank you for everyone who was a part of that. Yes, Mr. Herrera.
I just want to thank the volunteers who came out. I was at a Marble Mesa event, Make a Difference Day, so got a great group of volunteers there. And then also, this Saturday we have our kickoff District 3 breakfast burrito. I want to thank Fire Chief Camilli for the assistance there. We'll be providing free flu shots there. So District 3 residents, you can come out to Fire Station 207, 2505 South Dobson Road. So thank you.
Thank you, Frankie. Mr. Luna.
This Saturday, I think most of us are participating in GAIN. So I just want to remind you, you're going to get visits from your city council members as well as Mesa Police visiting some of your neighborhoods. And that's a great activity. It's a great way to meet our police officers and to meet your city council members. So this Saturday, starting at 4 in my area, I don't know what time you're in your areas.
Yes, Mr. Freeman. You're up.
We had the LISC meeting yesterday morning, so we had an awards presentation through them, and I learned a lot from that. So thank you for everybody who came.
Yeah, LISC has funded a lot of great projects in our city, so we appreciate them holding their state meeting in Mesa yesterday. That's right. It is nice to have Phoenix come and learn from Mesa, isn't it? Any other comments from council? If not, Mr. Brady, what's the schedule look like?
Yes. Also, just to add to your schedule on Saturday, we have the grand opening of the improved Greenfield Park. So invite everybody to come out to that. That'll be this Saturday, November 4th at 9 a.m. So everybody come out, and we'll have our next study session and council meeting on Monday. So we'll see you then. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm looking forward to the new Greenfield Park in Mr. Whitaker's district. This is this adds to our inventory of urban fishing facilities in the city. So that's going to be a lot of fun. That's great. If there's nothing else, I would entertain a motion to adjourn this meeting. Thank you, Mr. Thompson. All in favor, please say aye. Aye. We are adjourned.